first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 95. We are just five off the big 100. Oh, we've got some stuff planned, haven't we?
We've got some stuff planned.
Stop on 99. Oh, never do another one.
No, we're going to do
we
show 100.
Go back to one.
Yeah, just
like
start again.
Like a shit old counter.
Yeah. So number 95, 1995 World Player of the Year.
Georgie Weah.
Yeah.
Georgie Weah, like you know him quite well.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, Georgie. It was indeed, well done. First African player, and to date, the only African player as well.
Really? Ali Dyer came second.
He didn't.
He was his cousin.
Keeping it in the family, exactly.
So I've listed who
got
else.
He got a contract on the basis of that, didn't he?
He didn't get a contract. He got played.
He got 10 games.
Who else? The full list was 11, so there's 10 others. George Weah's on there as the FIFA World Player of the Year. Who else was on the list of Players of the Year that year?
I've got a feeling that Eric the King was left off there because of his kick.
Cantona wasn't on there, that's correct. Any other guesses? Romario was on there.
Stoichkov,
yeah.
Stoichkov was on there.
Georgi Hadji.
Hang on, Baggio was on there. Hadji wasn't.
Oh.
Oh, really?
That's robbery, that. I'm not having that.
Klinsmann.
Klinsmann was on there.
Was Alan Shearer on there?
Shearer wasn't on there, no.
Lothar Matthaus.
Who?
Lothar Matthaus.
David Seaman.
No. Shall I go down the list?
Yeah.
Zola.
Was he?
Parma. Yeah. Oh, right. Stoichkov you got at Barcelona, and then he moved to Parma as well. Matthias Sammer at Dortmund.
Oh,
legend.
Gilinho.
Ginger Sammer, isn't it?
Yeah. Gilinho was on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sao Paulo.
Gilinho.
And then he was at Middlesbrough when he part of the year as well. Michael Laudrup of Real Madrid. Yeah, cool. Baggio you got, Juve and Milan. George Weah obviously, Maldini at Milan, Klinsmann, Spurs and Bayern Munich, and Romario you got. One on there as well, Ivan Zamorano.
Oh, excellent.
Oh,
Real Madrid, and I remember as well, the reason I always remember him is because he left Real Madrid and went to Inter Milan in about 97,
that's
96.
Right.
And then he wore the number 9.
That's right.
And then Nike got involved when Ronaldo joined Inter. Nike basically said, right, you've got to have the number 9. So he turned to the number 9 saying, do you know what Zamorano took?
He took number 18. 1 plus 8.
And he put a plus between the 1 and the 8. Which was absolutely genius.
Legend.
I absolutely love
Always loved Zamorano.
Right, moving on, fellas. We've got a lot to chat about. Let's have a look at the football that we've happened in the last week.
No,
I don't like the introducing thing.
Enough.
I get bullied into that.
Yeah.
They'll hear us when
we've
go around.
We've got Dan Ferdinand. We've got Simon
plus,
Head.
Plus, what is it you think is going to happen? They're going to go, oh, Sean's not on the show. Oh, I'm not going to listen.
I do.
Exactly.
If I'm not on it, I'm saying it.
The point being, no one really cares who they're listening to. They're just going to listen. There's been a lot of football since last Wednesday, the last time we recorded. So we'll go through that, and then we'll have a look at the transfer day deadline day moves as well. But so round the table, standout performance, player or team from last week.
I've got one for both stand out and stand down.
Okay.
I haven't got a stand down.
Robin Van Persie.
Why? Hang on. Why have you not got a stand down? You knew you had to have a stand down.
I've got a stand down.
Good. Well done.
It's a good job we're not naming names here. Otherwise, everyone would know we hadn't done any work.
Exactly.
Stand out and stand down, Robin Van Persie. Stand out for the hat trick.
Oh, the penalty.
That's what I was going to
do. Stand down for the penalty.
Damn. It was as soon as he hit it.
He knew it.
Wait, you could see, when you see the close up of him taking it, you could see that at the last moment he sort of changed. So, I mean, what he said was he saw Kevin Davis move off his line and move slightly. Thought he'd be a bit clever, but the problem was he was already aiming to the left.
Yeah, if you do that, you got, I think, down the centre is the way to go, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
But so, he was cutting too much, but he got himself off the hook massively.
Definitely.
And did play brilliantly throughout
and apologized
the game.
Off the hook is the word.
Off the hairdryer would be
he would have gone mental, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
But so what do we make of that game? Because Southampton were actually doing a bit, and they were the three
similar to the game against Man City for him, wasn't it?
I'd forgotten that old Punchin could actually play football.
Very good.
Yeah, Palace fan is.
Well, they all did all the three up top, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then
Lambert
he took them
well,
took
yeah.
them all off, didn't he?
Did he?
Pretty much. Yeah. I think Lambert and Punchin definitely came off.
I think Lallana did as well.
Lallana did as well. He came off with Del Prado.
Which is straight away going to invite you. invite United onto you, when, and you don't need any invitation.
Well, I
play Man United anyway.
I had the feeling they were going to get it on the break, because there's a couple of times when Rodriguez went forward and
they could have. Yeah, you're right. They could have more,
but they made the wrong decisions, and you wonder if they'd had Lampard, Lallana and Puncheon, who'd all played brilliantly, whether they would have made those wrong decisions. But
yeah,
ifs and buts in it. It's unfortunate, and Southampton don't deserve to be on 0 points after 3
games. Ridiculous. Yeah, they've attacked both Manchester teams.
They've played the two top teams.
Is that the right thing to do, though? Attack both Manchester teams?
You've got
scored two against both of them.
Yeah, they've lost both games.
Yeah, but going into those games, did they think they were going to get anything out of him?
True.
If they'd gone in...
sit back, you're going to invite pressure and that quality on the team.
It's not the fact that they've attacked the teams, it's maybe the decision towards the end that have cost them taking off the top players and trying to consolidate. That's where they've been.
I don't think they've lost anything, is the point I'm making. Sure. Right, I don't think
apart from three games.
Yeah, that's true as well, but we'll skip over that. Alright then, so that's both yours from the same game. We'll have that. Sean?
Well, my standout performance, another hat trick, another prolific goal scorer, saving his team from a deficit. Peter Whittingham for Cardiff.
Oh, yeah.
Blinding.
Old Villa boy as well.
Yep.
Should be a new Villa boy. They should have signed him. That would have been a really good signing.
I don't know why we let him go.
Whittingham's a strange player because he's always linked with people, but he seems quite happy at Cardiff. He never comes out and courts the publicity.
No,
he's still there, so he's obviously not pushing for a massive.
He's scored tons of goals for him.
Midfield, from the wing.
Exactly. And the free kick for the hat trick goal was absolutely top draw.
It was Wolves they played, wasn't it?
That's right.
That left foot.
You could almost hear the crowd shouting, "Up the Reds! Up the Reds!"
Yeah, almost. I know
dragons.
A few Cardiff fans, and I've seen a few people on Twitter as well, and a couple of them went to the game on was it Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And even though they won the game, they sort of said, well, at half time it's just not the same. But the Cardiff fans are making a big point of singing Bluebirds a lot.
Mm.
In a sort of like two fingers up sort of thing, but it's very strange. But I mean, doing a business on the pitch with a 3-1 win.
Clearly.
Go on, stand down then.
Well, a bit of a personal one. Dave Jones for his post-match rant about why Sheffield Wednesday lost to Palace.
I can understand this.
He said the reason why Sheffield Wednesday lost to Palace is that we were given a penalty and then the referee changed his mind. So the decision went against Palace and that's why Sheffield Wednesday lost.
Makes sense.
No, but the point he's saying is, right, it was in the, how long to go? 20 minutes left?
About 10, 15 minutes to go.
Say 75th minute, Palace player went down, referee awards the penalty, the crowd went, and then the linesman overrules him, takes the penalty.
No. What happened
was... Which was a correct decision, by the way.
It was the correct decision, goal. But what happened was, the linesman didn't overrule it initially. All 11 Sheffield Wednesday players surrounded the referee.
It doesn't matter, it was the right decision. Right decision.
Yeah, I'd hate it if my team ever did that.
But the point being, the fact is, as well, he got the ball, it was a good challenge, the referee got to the right decision. Doesn't matter how he gets to the right decision in my eyes.
Okay, he got to the right decision.
And after that, obviously, you're a little bit annoyed about it still now. If you're in the Palace end, it's going to motivate you to get right behind him. And he said the atmosphere changed from being just a 1-1 and drifting towards a 1-1 to suddenly it was like a cup final and Palace wanted the win so much and they eventually got the win up.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. It spurs the players on, it does.
Still though, it doesn't... fair enough.
No, go on. It doesn't what? That's the point he was making. He wasn't saying that the referees...
He made 15 minutes. 15 minutes talking about that. He could have been a bit gracious. We were the better side.
It's the first game they've lost under his leadership,
yeah,
isn't it? Which is a fantastic record as well.
That's going to be my performance of the week, actually. Crystal Palace actually beat us every Wednesday.
Thank you very much. So, cheers.
Yeah. You didn't have one, did you?
I did. That was it.
Just winning a game.
Just winning a game. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because me and Sean discussed our underwhelming transfers over the past week or so. And we thought, well, we're still both in trouble with our team.
Yeah,
but
still
that was a good result, I think, for Palace.
Yeah, it was. Players we brought in looked really good. Damien Delaney, experienced centre-back, excellent. he looked class, I'll tell you what.
Did you play him left-back?
No, we played him centre-back.
Oh, really?
He looked really good.
I'll tell you about Damien Delaney. I've been playing Championship Manager 0102 this week, and I've signed him for
game.
Man United.
Oh.
I'm making an all-English and Irish team. Damien Delaney, brilliant.
Top job.
Go. Stuart.
He hasn't fulfilled that, has he? From
he hasn't fulfilled the potential yet, but I'm hopeful that he's going to do all right next season.
Fair enough.
Stu, stand out, stand down.
my standout is Alejandro Forlín. After being out for nine months with an ACL, he started two games in 5 days.
He started the game against Warsaw as well.
He looked decent against City. He was on ESPN and he looked all right. He didn't look.
How do you know how long he played? Like,
he played 90 minutes.
Bloody hell!
Yeah,
and that, in 5 days.
I forgot all about him. I thought, who's that? A new signing, but
he's come back and he looks half decent. He's a bit off the pace. He said himself he's 70% fitness.
Are you falling in love with him again?
Absolutely.
Yes, having that. Is that a decent central midfield partnership though, him and the Real Madrid guy? That looks a little bit lightweight. I know you're going to get what's his name, Mbia.
Are you going to get him signed for centre back? We're playing him at centre back because you've got to think we've got Clint Hill and Ferdinand there.
Ryan Nelson.
Yeah.
Apparently he played quite well up at City. I've heard that from a independent QPR fan.
I don't know. I don't think anyone had a particularly great performance up there.
Well, you did the same again though. You got back to 1-0 for about 10 seconds, didn't you?
Less than that.
I thought Zamora was going to miss that as well at the back post, to be honest.
He had potential, didn't it?
So how many of your new signings started? It was about only two or three, wasn't it, that started?
Yeah, I mean, he went for Wright Phillips over Højlund. I'm guessing Wright Phillips is actually bothers tracking back as opposed to Højlund just standing on the halfway line.
He's always going to be up for City as well, anyway, Wright Phillips.
Exactly.
Yeah, so apparently he played quite well as well, didn't he?
He didn't look bad. But yeah, Forlin's definitely my standout performance. I think two games in 5 days after being out for 9 months.
How's old Fabio doing?
Probably injured.
No, he did play. Well, he's playing when I saw the highlights anyway.
Yeah.
So good work, Stuart.
So he didn't play, yeah.
No, not too sure.
I heard he cleared one off the line.
What about stand down?
Didn't have one.
You didn't have one?
No.
Yeah. No. Loads of football the weekend.
He's an optimist, is our Stu. He's not going to run
everyone did
down.
Well.
Yeah.
They all took
they
part.
They took part, yeah.
That's the most important
everyone
thing.
Everyone tried their heart.
If only Paolo Di Canio thought the same.
Wow.
My standout performance is Falcao.
Oh,
on Friday night.
For
absolutely ripping him apart.
Shreds,
a left foot hat trick on his weaker foot.
We will go on to left footed players later as well.
They'll sign him in January.
Apparently, it's already done, isn't it?
No.
According to.
Villa are going to swarm in, are they?
No, I'm just saying he's not going to leave.
Oh, sorry, is that Clint Dempsey? Yeah, we've agreed a fee. What, Villa?
Nah.
Nah, right. But you might not get another club.
No, I'll take that
chance. That was awful. Oh, as a Villa fan, you must just be thinking, oh God. Do you know what?
I think it took 5 minutes for them to announce that we've made a bid and then for him to reject it.
But do you know what was even funny? Earlier on in the day, your big signing was a guy from Chesterfield.
Who hasn't
been setting the world alight for Chesterfield. I know he's a good prospect, but then for Paul Lambert to say he's good enough, I'm going to put him in the team.
Is hungry players who want to play.
Hungry players. Akinfenwa.
Yeah, Akinfenwa's got bigger, by the way.
I saw him the other day on the football league.
He's up front with Clive Platt as well. That's the thing. He came on. He came on as a sub against Wolves in the League Cup game, which was on TV. It was just like, oh my God, he's an absolute monster. I've got another standout performance as well, but he also takes part in my Hogwarts section later on, so I'll save him for that.
Yeah.
Stand down for me. Without a shadow of a doubt, it'd be the Crystal Palace fans who tried to cheat Sheffield Wednesday out of the penalty on Saturday. So I'll go with that.
I think we're all standing up after that decision. Why we won,
so
apparently.
Let's go through the other games. Obviously, we have Man City 3, QPR 1, Swansea 2, Sunderland 2, with Fletcher getting a couple of goals.
Yeah.
He didn't look sharp, did he? And he was quite adamant that he's not match fit.
He's never looked
sharp. No, but he's looked a lot better than he did. Even the goal, he took about 10 years to get to the goal and put it in.
The first finish was absolutely top draw.
It was a great finish, and the second one sort of hit him, but you've got to be in that position, haven't you, to get there. Definitely. He looked offside as well, but he wasn't.
No.
We will mention Spurs, even though Dan's not here with us today. Spurs 1, Norwich 1.
Wasn't that funny?
Actually, can I go back to Swansea? That Michu scored in every game so far, isn't
he? Yes, indeed.
He looks like a decent player.
Yeah, and do you know
15
what?
Goals from
for me, not was, not
season.
Enough was made of Swansea's first goal, the volley by Routledge.
Oh, it was fucking hell, it was fast, wasn't it?
Yeah. The interplay on the edge of the area, and then it was the guy you hate, the winger.
Nathan Dyer.
Everyone hates Nathan Dyer.
Put a little
in jail. Because he robbed a barmaid.
Allegedly.
Not allegedly, it was caught on camera.
He
was prosecuted for it.
Why Glenn Johnson's not allowed toilet seats.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
It's not allegedly.
So what I do when I have a bacon sandwich, though, is meet you. Oh, I thought that would be one that Jim would appreciate, but no.
Not even Jim.
You know a pun's bad when Jim doesn't laugh at it.
Never mind. Anyway, Nathan Dyer.
Good player.
Yeah, it was a great little ball through and a great finish from Routledge. Can I move on now?
Yeah, you can. Sorry. All
right, Spurs-Norwich. Two things that stood out for this. Spurs losing points at home again, and Dembele, what a finish.
What a finish. Okay. Didn't start him. But,
why didn't he, why don't, know, don't you start sure. him? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Sure. And Huddleston. Why not start... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll see.
Have you seen, though, that Fulham have replaced Moussa Dembele with Moussa Dembele? They've got a lad playing for their under-17s called Moussa Dembele. He scored a hat-trick midweek.
Gave him the first team.
Brilliant.
Is he left-footed?
I'm not sure now, but we'll have a look into him.
Where's he from? Is he Belgian?
Where are these Belgians coming from?
Well, they're probably Belgian.
Where are these Belgians coming from? I've got no idea. Let's get Tintin on the
case. I'm going to look into that.
Local lad.
Poirot.
Where are these Belgians coming from?
A lot of them from Holland.
Probably.
They probably are. The German national team's anything to go by. They're probably not from Belgium. Mm. West Brom 2, Everton 1. West Brom just...
Everton nil.
Everton nil, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Did a number on Fellaini, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It looked like they marked him quite closely. Pienaar came out and said it was his worst game ever for Everton as well, so he didn't get going. But right. Don't take... like the ball in as well from Odoengi for the first goal.
Oh, what a quality
superb.
Ball. That's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Shane Long must have just been like, thank you very much. I'm just going to stick a foot
he's
out.
He's had a bad start to the season, missed a couple of good, decent chances. So it happened to Shane Long.
Oh, okay.
So for him to.
Odoengi is an interesting one as well because he was going to go out to, was it the States or no, China or China, Iran
Russia
or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's from Russia, isn't he? Steve Clark. Poland.
Steve Clark basically sat him down and said, look, give me 2 weeks of training. Let me show you what we're going to do, what we're going to achieve, and what our ambitions are. And then see how you feel. And after two weeks, he said, I'm in for the season. I'm staying.
Yeah,
and
excellent.
He's come out now and said that he's really enjoying it. So
he's naturally a centre forward, isn't he? But they're playing him out on the wing.
They're sort of playing him left wing. But yeah. I mean, if you're going to put crosses in like that.
Exactly.
Absolutely stonking. And then McCauley got the other goal, the central defender.
Yeah.
West Ham 3, Fulham 0. Andy Carroll did a bit.
Yeah.
And then
did his
hamstring.
Hamstring.
Colleague of ours bumped into Andy Carroll downstairs the other day.
Did he?
Yeah, outside.
As soon as West Ham sign players, invariably you can see them around Canary Wharf because they put them up in the
flats and stuff
in,
like that.
Yeah, in the hotel.
Yeah,
there is where, one of their main
hotels. Tottenham like the lasagna.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So Fulham couldn't really cope with it at all, could they? Although he didn't actually get on the score sheet, he made a couple of them. I didn't know Matt Taylor was still there either.
Yeah.
What a decent goal. One of those efforts where you smash it into the ground and the keeper can't get
anywhere
near
it. They just signed him last season, Matt Taylor.
Yeah, I thought they released him again, to be honest. No. I didn't realise. Wigan Stoke actually looked like a good game. Wigan Stoke on paper is one of those games you look at.
Oh, God.
0-0.
Yeah. And decent save from the keeper as well. Al Havsey.
That was a good save.
It was Adam that hit the free kick. I think Charlie Adam would be a good signing.
Very good
signing
for Stoke.
He fits Stoke a lot better than
He's another player who can just hit the ball long for them.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I don't know.
Sean's just going, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't mean to do them down like that, but he fits their style of play.
Yeah. He can fit the ball long well, precisely out to the wings, can't he?
Oh, okay, yeah. Typecast. Liverpool 0, Arsenal 2, Newcastle 1, Villa 1, Southampton 2, Man United 3, we've already talked about. Ben Arthur's goal was doing a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah. He played well in that game, didn't he?
We actually did play well.
Yeah, the goalkeeper came in, didn't he? And
I think that was a brilliant move by the manager there. Because
oh, yeah, he's brilliant now. Yeah.
No, I've never said anything bad against him. But,
As soon as we stopped recording last week, you were slagging him off.
No, I wasn't.
You were saying, get him out.
Paul, I wasn't
Bring
slagging
back
you
McLean. Always forgive him.
That's the thing. Villa fans just have to think, well, at least he's not McLeish, we'll take that.
Yeah.
At least McLeish wasn't Houllier.
Yeah, exactly.
At least Houllier wasn't O'Leary. And at least O'Leary won Graham Taylor again.
All right, we've had some bad managers in the pod. Yeah.
Graham Taylor. You know he's going to manage you again at some point, isn't it?
Bring back Dr. Joseph Benglos, that's what I say.
Oh, there were the days.
Right, deadline day. Best move, worst move. I'll start off. Best move during the window was Snodgrass to me.
Yeah.
Going to Norwich from Leeds.
Very, very good footballer. Norwich seems to have just accumulated all the best players
from the Championship.
League,
that's what they do, but it means if they go back down, they're going to be well-keeled to get back in there. But he was player of the year at Leeds. He was players player of the year at Leeds. He's still only 23, 24, something like that.
He's partnered up with Johnson as well in midfield, so they've got an understanding.
Only cost him £3 million as well. Considering if he was English... because he's Scottish, managing it, like if he was English, he'd have gone for a hell of a lot.
Look at Jordan Rhodes, 8 million, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. That is absolutely scandalous.
You pay more for goal scorers, I suppose, and he scored a hell of a lot of goals. But it's still a lot of money for
four and a bit up front. I was actually gonna go for him as my
I thought you meant go for like pay for him.
I meant go for him, like you're down the pub. I kind of like the look of that fella.
It looked to be funny. You spilt my drink the other day as well.
Take the boy out of Croydon.
Yeah. Anyway, I was going to actually go for Jordan Rhodes. I think his goals can get Blackburn out.
What, so that's the best signing?
Yeah,
no
8 million.
Way. No.
4.25 up front, and then it's dependent on.
I think it's one that could go very well.
That could go very bad.
I can sort of see you make a case for it because I didn't think Blackburn again for a start. They've signed some really good players.
To be fair, they've signed about 10 Portuguese players.
They've signed those, isn't it? They like chicken.
It's 11 signings, 6 from Portugal, and 3 the manager's never seen play.
Yeah,
really? It's Jerome Anderson, isn't it?
And it's that shabby fella.
Yeah, Chevy Singh.
Shabby.
One of the players they've signed is the Portuguese sub-goalkeeper from the Euros, but the one that and didn't come signed, on and save the penalty.
They've signed the substitute Polish keeper from the Euros as well.
That's the one I just said, Stu, literally in those words.
You said Portuguese.
Did I meant Polish? Yeah. Sorry.
Fair point. Yeah, well done. Well, good chat.
I'm actually going to go for Dimitar Berkpilot for £4 million.
Spurs came. His agent said yesterday that Spurs came in for him as well last minute. Yeah. So Spurs tried to sign him back at some point.
Well, Ferguson said as much on Friday morning.
Oh, Ferguson's comments on Friday morning were genius. Don't know where he is, and they sort of like the press sort of laughed. Genuinely don't know where he is. Yeah. He didn't seem to care either, did he?
No.
He was quite happy that he'd be out of the club by 11 o'clock.
I think certainly with Berbatov's comments subsequently about
I don't know
not saying goodbye to Ferguson.
Not respecting him
at all. And
not
respecting him. I'm always disappointed to see that. It's a bit sour and I couldn't understand because he did so well for us for that season and then didn't get a look in. But at the same time, if you don't fit the style of play, you don't fit the style of play.
Yeah, they want a fast attacking, and he's not that.
When has Ferguson ever been sentimental with players and given them a chance?
Never.
It's not look like he's being very sentimental with Rooney at the moment, either, is it?
No, he looks like he's out the door.
That's a lot of paper talk. It's a lot of paper talk.
Whilst we're talking of sentimental and what have you, I've not really read this much, but apparently Van Persie did say himself, Scholes came on when it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And changed the game. He was brilliant when he came on. It was one of those. I mean, Paul Scholes, since he's come back, sometimes he's looked like the best midfielder in the world. Sometimes he's looked like he's just overrun.
He's looked like Messi.
But Messi's not a midfielder.
Well, he's not a forward.
And I'm not talking aesthetics.
Stuart, best signing?
I think Essien to Madrid.
No.
Yeah.
If he stays fit, I think it's a good signing for them. Well,
signed for his dad.
His daddy Mourinho,
Daddy. It was actually Kay Murray, friend of the show, that did that interview. When
is
he
really?
Talked about, calling him daddy. But so you're going, out of all the transfers, you're going for that one?
I think so, mate. I thought, on the thing it says deadline day.
It was a strange one. It was a strange one that it went through and it got done. And Raul Morales as well, since left Chelsea.
Fibonacci,
so
I don't understand that. I think Raul Morales
look a bit
player.
Light now as
and
well.
Florent Malouda's on his way out as well.
Yeah. Well, he's not included in the Champions League squad, is he, Florent Malouda?
About 10 minutes before we came out, Florent Malouda tweeted this, which is, this is where I'll train for my last season with the Blues. And then it's a picture of the under-21s players and staff only.
Wow, really?
And he tweeted that it must have been about 12:45.
That's a little harsh. I never understand when they make players who've not really done anything wrong, apart from potentially not being as good as they once were.
You wonder what the under-21s attitude is on the training ground if he's been relegated to that position, because Di Matteo's not going to come in and do it for personal reasons.
I guess, you wouldn't think. No.
Same thing happened to Carnot at Portsmouth. He trained with the under-21s because he was 17. So who's your best signing?
My best signing is Brian Oviedo, who's joined Everton.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about him.
He's been linked with United, Real Madrid, Chelsea in the last couple of years.
Yeah, he does not look just a left-back though. He plays left-back,
midfield. Everton, that's the one position they've not really had much challenge for in the last few years. They've had to play Distan or Phil Neville when Baines has been injured. Neither are really left-backs. If they're going to keep up this good start to the season, then I think it's great signing for them.
Yeah.
I think they will keep up the good start to the season as well. I bloody hope they do. Right, any worse signings to throw out there? I'll do one. Rob Green, QPR. Why they signed him?
He's already on his arse, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, hopefully. I do like the fact that I read this somewhere that QPR are the only team with two goalkeepers. They're number one and two, both named after salads.
Yep.
Yeah.
Green and Caesar.
Yeah.
So there you go. Nice. So maybe that's what I did.
Another goalkeeper who seems like it's come across as a bad sign. He's already fuming, isn't he? Hugo.
Hugo Lloris.
Yeah, he's already fuming about
being, not being number one.
Being second fiddle to a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, but I mean,
you got to feel for AVB, because that Chelsea was accused of like getting rid of the old guard too quickly, and now he comes out. He's back in. Brad Friedel saying how good he's playing.
And he should be. And he hasn't made
Lloris is getting,
well, backing him by bringing in another goalkeeper. I mean, they've got four goalkeepers in their 25 squad.
They've got Coutinho and Gomez.
I mean, Lloris has got to see the big picture that AVB will be gone by Christmas. But my worst sign, I have to say, is Liverpool's non-striker.
Yeah, that's
that they haven't signed. Yeah. Ridiculous.
You
could have got Dempsey at about 5 million and you've not gone in for him, and then someone snaps
him up
for 6.
Well, they're talking about Del Piero at the moment, but Del Piero's not even done anything in Juventus for the last 5 years.
I thought he was going to Sydney anyway.
Apparently he's not completed.
Okay, well, the other players that they could still sign on free transfers, Del Piero, Heskey, obviously, McFadden.
Yes.
Hargreaves, Hitzlsperger, Balak. Still around there.
He was knocking around Fulham. They were interested in him, apparently.
Apparently, as well.
Rio Coca, do a job for someone. Buba Diop and Gudjonsson. I'd rather take Gudjonsson out of those sports, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. He's pretty terrible at
Stoke.
Stoke.
He didn't really get much of a chance.
And Fulham.
Yeah, he's a pretty terrible player, but I mean, it's Liverpool.
He's better than
Florence Cinema Pongolese.
Florence Cinema Bogrel. With
anyone else for worse signings?
Like Jerry Barton to Marseille, he's got disaster written all
over. I think that's got success written all over.
I don't think there's anything to lose.
Self-destructive player in a self-destructive club.
The nature of the Marseille
fans,
though.
He's just going to come back quoting Sartre, isn't he?
They will love him, the Marseille fans. They will absolutely love him.
As long as he knocks someone out.
Yeah. If he dedicates himself to the club, which I think he will, and he'll go proper Mr. French, he'll probably have a stripy shirt and a beret on.
He's already got the dodgy little tash, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Apparently he's going to start behaving himself, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to start growing up. I think I need to now, really.
Well done, Joey. 30 years old.
Yeah, well done.
All right, so to round it up, I want one team from each of you for the who's had the best transfer window and one team who's had the worst transfer window. I'll kick off with mine. Best for me is Chelsea.
Yeah.
What Di Matteo's done in there by bringing in the likes of Hazard, Oscar, Marin. The other Hazard, although he's been loaned back, so I think he's a long-time prospect. Victor Moses, and I don't know how to pronounce the Marseille.
Azpilicueta.
Who's Spanish international,
isn't he? Azpilicueta, I don't think he's ever played for Spain, no.
Is he Spanish?
He's Spanish, okay.
Where do all these Spanish players come from?
Spain.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Belgium.
Yeah, not that.
But I mean, they spent 7 million on him, didn't they, from Marseille, so he's going to be a bit
attacking,
of a
attacking right back, good.
Same position, where they needed strength in that position as well. Mm. And a lot of the players that he's got out are obviously these sort of the likes of Kalou, Boswinga, Drogba, the old sort of guard. So I think he's done.
Bogard gone, isn't that?
He's playing in the Carling Cup next
with Malouda.
And my worst team, a lot was made of Spurs getting in Dembele, but I still think that their squad's significantly reduced in terms of quality.
Definitely.
And class.
Yeah,
but when you look at the people they've lost, Danny
Ryan
Rose.
Nelson.
Ryan Nelson. Yeah. Let's get rid of that. But Krankjær, Pienaar.
Modric,
obviously, Sahar wouldn't really count along there. Van der Vaart, even Dos Santos as well. Koluka was a decent squad player, and the players they brought in, they've only brought in about three or four. Yeah. One of those is a goalkeeper as well. They brought in Dembele, good signing. Adebayor, don't think he'll do that much there. The lad from Ajax, Sigurdsson, who was on loan at Swansea, Lloris, the goalkeeper, and Dempsey as well is a bit of a strange one for me. I could see him going there and not having a great time. I really could.
Yeah,
but I think they've been weakened. I think and Liverpool have taken a lot of the pressure off AVB in terms of his transfer window.
Because they didn't sign no one.
Yeah, exactly. because it was absolutely awful for him. But and they tried to get Moutinho in as well, didn't they, at the last minute, and
that was what it was all kind of hinging on for.
Well,
AVB,
apparently
wasn't it?
Just
didn't happen.
Where's all your money going, Moutinho? Is he coming? No.
apparently with Moutinho though, it was a third party that stopped
that's
it.
That's part
Porto
of the problem.
Porto and Tottenham agreed the deal, but there's a third party involved that did
play it.
Yeah.
Didn't want to sign.
So anyone else? Worst?
I would say worst. I'm gonna go for Manchester City.
Really? The worst?
Well, I don't think they did get the players in they
Scott
wanted.
Scott Sinclair and Richard Wright?
Everyone wants
exactly.
them.
Richard Wright turned down
I'll
Preston
go on to
him
on Naughty Boys.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think they've not brought in the first choice players they wanted. They missed out on Van Persie. They missed out on Hazard. They brought in Maycon, who hasn't really done much for the last 2 years, but
Gareth
has a good reputation. Being very good. Gareth Bale's happy he's off to Real Madrid next summer. I mean, I don't see where they've significantly strengthened their squad.
Does it need that much?
The team that won the league.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a team that won the league, but you've always got strength in the Premier League. Chelsea have, United have.
Yeah, but they haven't won
anything. I'd even argue that Arsenal have.
Harry Garcia is an upgrade on Nigel de Jong as a squad player.
Is he? Really?
Yes. Yeah.
A player that wasn't good enough for Real Madrid, can't get in the Spain squad.
Wasn't good enough for
Real Madrid and can't get in the Spain squad. That's a lot
of players. I know that's a big talk, but that's what City are aspiring to these days. So a player that's the best player at Benfica.
2 seasons ago he wasn't good enough to get in the Real Madrid squad. And he's improved since
Real
then.
Madrid put first options in on these players and you didn't take him back, put it that way.
No,
he's been at Benfica. I don't see how he's going to be much better than Nigel de Jong when Nigel de Jong knows the English game.
Nigel de Jong couldn't pass the ball though, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, but I just get the feeling I don't think they've done that good business.
Alright, fair enough. And best for you?
Best for me.
Best team from the transfer window?
I'd love to say United because we've done well, but Chelsea.
Brought
in some great players. It depends how they gel, and I don't think Di Matteo will keep it up all season, but fair play to them.
Well, he didn't keep it up on Friday, did he, to be honest?
No.
But
no,
they're still top of the league, aren't they? So can't really argue with that. Anyone else for anyone else?
I don't think much past Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea for me as well.
Swansea
have got some really good signings in.
And you wouldn't have thought Swansea when they lost Sigurdsson, they lost Allen, they lost Corker.
They made £23 million, didn't they, Sinclair and Allen?
Yeah.
Sinclair hasn't played the last couple of games anyway, because of all the speculation, so it's not like they're going to miss him.
No. Wayne Rowley's is better anyway.
No, he's not.
Anyway,
they the bad thing for him though, the left back, horrible injury.
That was terrible.
Snapped his ankle basically. Yeah. Really innocuous challenge as well. Someone just sort of fell on him, but
he fell on his butt, it was really nasty.
Naughty boys. It was a Man City player. I don't know his name. But
oh yeah, I don't even want to mention. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's still news, so we might as well cover
it. He was included in the Champions League squad though.
Yeah,
which was interesting, but
he's really young, isn't he? He's never played some double-barrelled name.
They include a lot of young players just in case of injuries.
Okay. No, it's the rules, isn't it? You have to have three that have trained over 5 years, isn't it?
I think
City already had that. I think they've just included all their young professionals just in case.
That's why Bogard still gets in the Chelsea.
Exactly, he's
been training there for more than 5 years.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know what the situation is. There's a lot of talk. There's talk about the fact he was racing someone else, but.
Well, the crux of the situation is there were two dead, is it?
Yeah,
from,
two dead.
Brother and sister, or something like that. And he's been linked to it. They arrested him and one other 21 year old, was it? We'll keep an eye on that situation.
It makes my other Manchester City naughty boy a lot more superficial, which was Richard Wright, who you just mentioned a minute ago.
Did he sign for
Preston? 1st of July, he signed for Preston. A week later...
Where was he before that? Do you know?
He was at Ipswich.
He was back at Ipswich.
We had him on trial.
Yeah. He turned around after a week at Preston and said... He was homesick, wanted to be back in Suffolk with his family, went on trial with Colchester. Graham Wester came out and said, fair play, we know he's not dicking us about. 30th of August, he signed for Manchester City.
He was on trial at Colchester. It's right next to Preston, yeah. It's certainly a lot further away than Ipswich.
Yeah, if I was Preston, I'd be onto the FA looking for a tribunal payment.
Definitely. That's fair enough. I've got another one. Good old Adriano. Always good for a naughty boy. 13 days after signing with his boyhood club, Flamengo, and promising it's all turnaround. I'm going to buckle down, work hard, go to training every day, and I'm going to strive to make the Brazil 2014
squad. Got locked in another hotel.
Nope. After 13 days, he decided not to turn up for training, and they found him in some bar in a favela, just knocking back the cachaça. And that's it. What he's been up to.
Good legs.
I love it. I've got a
naughty boy. You can see he's been working hard in training there.
Doesn't look too bad there.
He's been worse.
Another naughty boy. Whoever at Celtic, I assume it's a man, let Suzanne Boyle sing Never Walk Alone before their Champions League qualifier.
Oh, no.
What are you doing? What are you doing? One other bit of news that I've seen as well, not particularly a naughty boy, but Sheffield United are renaming one of their stands the Jessica Ennis stand.
She was a great player for them along with Franz Kahr.
Exactly. I can't get my head around it at all. I know a Sheffield United fan and I spoke to him on Tuesday and I was like, what is this all about? Is it for a season? He went, I don't think so. They've put it in like big letters on the stands. They ain't going to spend money on
it's
that.
It's gimmicky, innit?
It's terrible. And no disrespect. I spoke to my girlfriend about this and she was getting really arsy about it. I was like, no, it's no disrespect to Jessica Ennis and the achievements she's made, but Sheffield United are a proud club with over 100 years history. Yeah,
does she even like football?
To be fair, she's a big Blades fan, your girlfriend.
They announced it on on Saturday and she didn't even turn up.
Exactly.
To the opening.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't like football, really.
It's just a strange one. It's a very strange match. I can see what they're doing. I can see the thought process behind it and the community spirit behind it, but Sheffield United have got a lot of history. They've got a lot more people closely associated with the club. That'll probably just Brian Dean.
Sean Bean.
Yeah, Sean Bean.
Gary Speed.
Yeah, there's so many people. Yeah. So many people. What, right, any more naughty boys?
What, well, it's a group of naughty boys, but the Rangers fans, who there was, I don't know if you saw, they were going to serialise a book in the Scottish Sun about the downfall of Rangers, and they announced it, big deal, front page news. The next day, they had an article about why they were pulling it, because there had been a load of death threats to the editor of the Scottish Sun and the author of the book. Say, no, don't do this. And
were they death threats or were they just talking on their phones and the editor of the Sun found out about it?
Well, you never know, do
probably
you?
Probably more than
to be honest.
Topical.
The editor of the Sun will be able to understand the thick Glaswegian, but yeah, it's a bit of a shame that something that is so pathetic as football can lead someone to threaten somebody's life over a book that's written. And it might be that he's uncomplimentary, it might be that he's partisan, but from what I understand, the guy is a Rangers fan. Yeah. He's written this book just about what's happened, and we all know how terrible the situation's been there.
Yeah, it's been a disaster.
And so he's, so yeah, they're all naughty boys. They all got to tell
you. FC Cologne fans just reminded me, they forced their defender, centre back called Peruzzi, to tear up his contract because they waited for him outside his apartment and threatened him. Told him, if you don't leave the club, we'll kill you.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Two little bits of rounding up news for me. We talked about Luke McCormack. We did a whole sort of 10-minute section on it. He's actually been released by Swindon. I was asking if anyone knew what's happening with it. He did go on pre-season with them, but they actually released him. This is what the Swindon source of the club actually said in the paper. The club didn't feel it was right to give someone with his background a contract, as it might harm its reputation. They've now severed all ties with him.
Okay.
Bit harsh. If you ask me, if he was good enough, then
it's good enough for him to take him on originally, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I think you've got that's fan
pressure, though, isn't it? A lot of the fans didn't want
that's what it is.
But they've blatantly admitted there that they have bowed to that sort of that fan pressure. Yeah. And they're doing it because they don't want the stigma attached to it. If they did give him a contract,
by the sound of it, Swindon could do with a goalkeeper as well.
Yeah,
not Paolo Nicanio. So,
well, I would actually put the goalkeeper in as a naughty boy as well.
Well, yeah,
see his reaction after being substituted. Sure, you did. In the video,
yeah. Definitely called him.
Yeah. He called him the C word.
He definitely
he walked
did.
Past him. He smashed that bottle, and then he turned around and went, "You."
I think it's a bit harsh, though. To be fair,
isn't it?
Yeah, Decanio.
So. I know I'm not buying into all this Decanio stuff. I don't like his interviews because I can't understand a word he's saying. And Sky Sports News needs to get like some interpretation down the bottom, because I can't get my head around it at all.
All I heard was he's not Czech. He's League One Wes.
Yeah, basically, but the reasons behind it, I can understand, because he's basically giving him a kick up the arse. Apparently on his Twitter account, he's a little bit mouthy and getting a little bit big for his
boots.
Yeah,
well, we had him
for his League One boots.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. He's apologised now, so he's
apologised.
Yeah,
has he apologised from his stomach like Decanio wanted him to?
I think so, yeah.
Good,
I
from his stomach.
England playing this weekend. The squad got announced. Yeah. No real outstanding bits of news in there, to be honest.
Disappointing to hear Hodgson talking about playing Lampard and Gerrard in the middle.
I think that might work. I've never thought about a chance. Yeah.
Never done it before.
I would have thought he'd still start Carrick as well, because Carrick played well against Italy.
Yeah.
Ashley Cole and Carroll are out of the team. So, forwards, we've only got Jermaine Defoe, Sturridge and Welbeck.
Right. I think Defoe definitely deserves to start.
Defoe will probably start, and he might play like a Johnson off him and Walcott off him, or Oxlade-Chamberlain off him.
It wouldn't surprise me if he played Welbeck off
him. Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah,
potentially. Yeah. See, Oxlade-Chamberlain came out in the paper today and admitted that he was the first England player to get an absolute barrel full from Hodgson.
Really?
He was taking too many players on in training, so Hodgson just went mental at him, and all the players were like, whoa.
You've not seen that before.
The old man's got a little bit of fury in him. And one last thing as well, Champions League has been drawn since we were last here.
Man City got a tough group, haven't
they? It's I was really pleased to
it's
see that.
It's not as tough as our group. But...
Yeah, oh yeah, Man United always get a tough group.
We messed up last season.
Man United have got Galatasaray, Braga, and a team I can't even pronounce.
CFR Cluj.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what about the Cluj Napoca? And then, yeah, Man City, a little bit different. Borussia Dortmund's champions of Germany. Ajax, champions of Holland. Where do all these Holland teams come from? Real Madrid and Man City. The first game as well is on Tuesday, 18th of
September. Is it right that Man City was in pot two as well?
Yeah.
Yes. How does that
because
work?
Because they've not been in Europe.
It's done on the European rankings.
It's done over the last 5 years. So exactly. City have only been a football club for the last 4 years.
So how has that happened? I don't know.
And what have they done in Europe?
They haven't gone far in Europa League.
They should have been in pot three.
Well, yeah.
That's fine.
So?
I thought you meant they should have been in pot one. They've won enough games to get into pot two.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some really decent games. Obviously, Real Madrid, Man City on the first Tuesday. See that shirt? Shirt's off. Chelsea, Juventus as well on the first Wednesday as well of the competition. Bayern Munich, Valencia. There's some really good ties there, so we'll keep an eye on that. Started on the 18th of September as well, so it's only a couple of weeks. We'll keep on top of that. One last thing from me before I open it out to any other news. We've got a new iTunes review.
Love these. Go on.
The review is from Mr. Mourinho. Some sort of play on Mourinho, I think. There.
I think it is Jose.
I think it is.
Just the 5 stars. Quality listening with a bunch of lads, the majority of whom know, if not love, their football. I like that. He says some of them know their football, some of them just love. Like, he loves his football.
I don't know anything about it.
In the pub. It's a little bit longer, but at the end of it, thanks for the show, lads. So, Mr. Mourinho.
Thanks for your review, Mr. Mourinho. Yeah,
from last week.
That.
So,
if you review us, we'll mention you.
We always do, yeah. Complete bribery. Right, any other news?
Well, I hate to bring the mood down, but I've got some sad news from the world of football.
There's
been a death in the family. Forfar Athletic, their groundsman used to bring his dog, Giggsy, along with him. Giggsy is a girl, I will point out, and she's died. She was put down at the age of 15. Apparently, she once tackled Ali McCoist while he was warming up for Rangers.
Right.
She was the darling of the Forfar fans, and the highlight of her career was a Scottish Cup game against Ross County in 1999, when the game was called off for a frozen pitch, and she got to eat all the half-time pies.
Hey.
So, this is actually a quote from a national newspaper as well. So. Rest in peace, Giggsy. You're in a better place.
Fair enough.
Then four far. Yep. Sure. Got another one. Poor old Alan Neil, scunt up manager.
Oh yeah.
Suffered a serious squirrel-related injury. Could have been a lot more serious. He's riding his bike.
What is it with animals? Last week, didn't we have a meerkat or something? Some woman's.
What?
Meerkats and ferrets are basically the same thing.
Dumb family and ferrets.
Yeah,
they are same family.
To be fair, ferrets don't know that much about car insurance.
Oh, okay. They shouldn't be allowed to do that either, by the way. They're selling car insurance on the basis that you get a cuddly toy. That must be against the FSA rules and regulations.
The Generation Game did it for years.
What do you mean, why? Because you get some stupid idiot in a council house that will go, some words, mate, but you get a cuddly toy. And then they're going to go for it.
The class system is still strong within this country.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Council scum love ferrets and meerkats, it's true. I'm a Gillingham fan.
So you're an expert on these kind of things?
So yeah, I like meerkats and ferrets. Counting myself as council scum, I've got no bones about that. Say your news, come on.
He was riding his bike, he hit a squirrel and he banged his head. That's the news. Alan Neil's coming.
Alan Neil. He's a weird looking fella,
isn't he? He's a weird looking
I've got a little poster for you. It's going to work better for us here, but I'll put it on the site as well. It's a marketing poster from Arsenal. I don't know whether it's actually real, but it says Wherever Forever Arsenal, and it's the launch of a new kit. So it's Wherever Forever Arsenal. The people, the five players in there, Adebayor, Walcott.
He's going soon.
Fabregas, Nasri and Van Persie.
Oh,
Forever.
Arsenal
heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. Jay, I know you've got loads of news that you're busting to tell us.
Well, it's not loads of news. I'm just going to answer one of our listener questions.
Okay. Who's the question from?
Sean.
Sean.
Andre Dublasan.
That's the one. Yeah.
It's actual double sin.
It's
he emailed
sin.
Me and said you got it right first time.
Double sin.
Yeah. Andre Doubleshin.
He's Australian, isn't he?
So what were the two sins?
Oh, he'll like that. He loves a pun, old Andre.
He does.
He very much enjoyed his shout out last week as well. So, Andre, there's your shout out again. Good question as well.
It was a really good question. It was a difficult question. I've not picked a right footed team, but I've picked a left footed Premiership team.
Okay.
Which is quite good. Czech in goal.
Hey, you haven't said the question.
Oh, right. The question
is. Jesus, this is why we don't let Jay speak very much.
Sorry. Question is two teams, left footed versus right footed players, who would win? Now, my team's really good, I think.
Well, is this just your left-footed player?
Just my left-footed team.
Okay.
Check and goal.
Yeah.
Baines at right-back.
Again, Baines above, like, all the left-footed players in the world.
Like Ashley Cowell.
It's just a Premier League.
It's a Premier, just a Premier League. That's my team.
No, just Premier League.
It doesn't say just Premier League. I've just gone for the Premier League.
Okay.
To be fair, you can't really get a left-footed right-back.
Can you? Yeah, it's all left-footed players. So, but Baines at right-back, Vermaelen and Agger at centre-back. Ashley Cole, Ben Arthur, Silva, Giggs, Wilshere, Matto,
who did you cross out for Silva?
Johnson, because I put him on the bench.
He's right footed anyway, isn't he?
Adam Johnson.
He's got a cracking right foot on him. He plays for the dog.
Adam Johnson.
Alan Johnson from Peep Show.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Johnson.
RVP up front.
Yeah.
A couple of subs as well. Barry, Carroll, Anderson.
Okay, when he posed the question, I think he was thinking more like Maradona,
Messi,
like in
Michael Coxon,
Roberto Carlos.
Just kept it sort of local.
I think it'd be a good game. Is what.
Well, I tried. I got stuck at.
But there are so many left-footed players that are just class, like Maradona, Messi.
Yeah,
it's amazing how many goalkeepers you see.
Giovanni
Who
De Celos,
left-footed. Yeah.
Who was your goalkeeper?
Van der Sar, Bartes. Yes.
Was Bartes left-footed?
Yep,
I didn't know that.
Van der Sar wasn't.
Van der Sar was, yeah.
He was strong on his left foot. I don't think he was around.
No, he was
also got us talking about, are there any completely two-footed players?
Yeah, and
Stuart Hall's are both as bad as the other.
Moussa Dembele's got a good left-right foot as well.
Has he?
Yeah.
He always tries to put it on his left foot.
No, I think he's got a good right foot as
Antonio Valencia, he's very two-footed.
Yeah, very nice. Hazard does a bit with his left as well, but he takes penalties with his right, so I'd assume that his right's a little bit sharper.
It's kind of how you define people, isn't it? Because you look at the likes of... Zinedine Zidane, he could do brilliant things with both feet.
And Cristiano Ronaldo as well.
Yeah.
He's got a good left foot.
Alright, fair enough. One last thing that I wanted to mention on the transfer stuff as well. Andy Carroll, apparently there's a January release clause in there.
There is.
Which West Ham haven't denied, but they're saying that it's complicated. So maybe if he plays a certain amount of games that they can't trigger the contract clause, or it's going
to
be interesting.
I don't think Rodgers wants him back anyway. So, yeah. But I think Andy Carroll demanded it back to show that he can do a job and then come back.
I saw the article in The Sun with Karen Brady that she writes every Saturday, and in that she said that she spoke to Andy Carroll on Friday after he signed for him, and she was completely impressed. The reason he wanted to move because he's so passionate about playing for England. And she also found out, and I didn't know this either, that none of the players actually get paid for playing for England. They receive an appearance fee, but they all pull their appearance fee and get to a charity club 66.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did.
And I know it's small money compared to what they earn in a Premier League.
But sure, it's a lot of money for the charities.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's fantastic.
They've
always done it.
Gesture.
Yeah. Absolutely. And also, did anyone see any of the El Clasico?
Yeah, I saw bits of it.
It's the first time I've watched a Real Madrid-Barcelona game for a long time, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Real Madrid, in the first half, were playing them off the pitch, and then Messi popped up in 45 minutes with the free kick.
What a free kick.
Outstanding free kick. And then the second half was a little bit of game of cat and mouse, because they were sort of attacking them, but it was really good. Ronaldo as well scored a lovely goal.
On Ronaldo.
It's sad, though, isn't
we haven't mentioned, he's not in a good mood at the moment. It's a shame.
It's a bit sad. How much does he earn a week?
That's what I'm thinking. How is he unhappy and he's earning like 200k a week?
I don't know.
I just don't understand.
Well, people at the club know, but we don't know.
Yeah.
He misses Darren Fletcher.
Who doesn't?
And did anyone see the Peterborough goal?
No.
Against Birmingham.
No.
Possible stand down contender, although it's a bit late. The Peterborough goalkeeper's worth watching. Birmingham swing a free kick in, and the Peterborough goalkeeper comes out for it. He sort of punches it, and it manages to bounce 5 yards in front of the line and bounce over about three defenders on the line in for an own goal.
Is that Joe Lewis?
No, they've sold Joe Lewis.
Where's he now?
I don't know where he is, but I don't think he's there.
New York.
The goalkeeper is... I can't remember his name, to be honest. It's a foreign sounding name. I've probably got it somewhere.
Yeah,
let me dig it out for you. Right, moving on to Hogwarts. Bit of an interesting one.
I'm always excited about these Hogwarts.
Have a look at that. Birmingham, how would you say that?
Olejnic.
Smith.
Olejnic.
I'll go with Olejnic.
Yeah,
right. Right, it's an interesting one. We've had two young players so far, the Southampton left-back and the Gillingham forward. This is a bit of a different one. Sam Hutchinson. Does anyone know much about him?
I know of him, but I'll let you explain.
Played for Chelsea?
Yeah.
He did play for Chelsea. All right, I'm going to take you through his history.
I only
know
that from Football Manager.
He's 23. He was born in August 1989 in Windsor. Yeah. He's a right-back or centre-back. He's topped out at 6 foot. Been compared to John Terry for a long time because he's an English-born centre-back, very highly thought of in the Chelsea youth system.
Okay. Hey, shags.
No, come on.
I'm sorry.
He joined Chelsea at the age of 9, made his debut at 18 against Everton in May 2007. Made about 3 or 4 appearances, something like that, and then in August 2010 he retired from professional football.
At
the age of 21 years old.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically when he retired because we talked about it on this show on episode 5 or 6 or whatever it was. And I'd heard about him and I knew he was a good player, so I was pretty devastated, to be honest, for the lad, a 21-year-old, chronic knee problem, so he had to retire because of that. He was offered a role as a player mentor, so he's been in and around Chelsea for a couple of years. So why the hell is he in Hogwarts at the moment?
It's a very good question, Jim.
I'll tell you why.
Answer it now.
I am going to answer it now. Because in December 2011, it was announced that he'd signed a new contract because his chronic knee problems had got a lot better.
With Chelsea?
Really?
Yeah.
Not that chronic at all, then?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So how's that happened?
So Roberto Di Matteo.
So he's been playing, obviously been training and stuff there.
Yeah, he's been training back there.
Yeah, the club gave him the opportunity, similar to, for some reason, United. Quinton Fortune still trains with United.
Does
That's
he?
Rather bizarrely, yeah.
Really?
I don't think he's going to get a new contract.
No,
I don't. Yeah, so December 2011, he signed a new contract at the age of 23, after doctors said it showed a significant improvement. He started for Chelsea in their last game, last season. It was his first Premier League start, I believe, as well. He played against Blackburn.
Did he?
End of last season.
I missed that. How did we miss that?
To be fair, they were also going to start Erling Johnson and Dimitri Karim.
Bogard was that close. We've mentioned Bogard like 3 times this show. We haven't ever mentioned him before. So yeah, he started the last game last season and he's back on the prospect. 23 now. He's gone to Nottingham Forest on loan for 6 months.
Oh, I saw that.
He's got a great goal.
I didn't see his goal, but I saw he'd gone there.
He's joined Nottingham Forest on loan for 6 months, which John Terry also did when he was a bit younger in year 2000. So the comparisons with Terry have started yet again. And he's played 3 games for him this season. His career total is 9 appearances and he's made 3 already in the last week.
23.
So that's how much he's standing up to.
And
they won at the weekend and he scored a great goal. Absolutely great finish for Nottingham Forest. I think they might have been playing him right back from the way he bounded up the pitch. But they got a home win against Cholton 2-1 and he scored in the 75th minute.
Good luck to that.
Yeah. So,
well done.
Potentially, though he's not a youngster, it's a bit strange the way it's come about because obviously he's still, in terms of playing times, he's still like he's an 18, 19 year old lad.
Exactly.
But they obviously like him there and it looks like Di Matteo's going to give him a chance, so we'll keep that monitoring that.
Definitely.
Right. www.footballpubcast.co.uk. There's some blogs on there, and Chris Edwards, I must mention, on Facebook, he sent us a video of a ref doing the best assist ever. If the ball
did
comes across, and
Dan Silver talk about this in the last and say he was going to upload it, but never did.
Did he really?
I think so. I think this is true.
I didn't know.
Right.
That.
So from next week, Chris Edwards is replacing Dan Silver.
I think he bloody should. Yeah, he's doing nothing much.
Dan Silver's not here this week, but that's the reason you're still listening. So.
Yeah. Email us anything, any questions like Andre has. We've already got a question
got
for next week from Firas. So we'll talk about that next
week. Long-time listener, hi Firas.
Email us, banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. All complaints,
at Simon Head.
Visit the website, www.footballpubcast.co.uk. And follow us on Twitter. We have not got enough Twitter followers. For the amount of people that download our show, for the amount of interaction that we get via email and Facebook, if you need to get involved with us,
come on,
the way is Football Podcast.
It's the future.
At Football Podcast on Twitter. Yeah. It's not really the future anymore.
No,
it's the present.
It's the present.
Yeah. But I like what you're saying.
Yeah.
But this is the best place to follow us because you'll get notifications about the new shows. Any blogs we put up will be on there.
Yeah, weird videos about Alan Pardew.
Any news. Quite a lot of stuff that we just retweet as well, that we mention on the show, you won't know about unless you follow us on Twitter. So what more opportunity and what more excuse do you need to follow us on Twitter?
Jim will give you a fiver if you follow us on Twitter.
And it's not true. I'm not doing that.